that's important in discernment that we miss is recognizing the movement of the Spirit, not just looking for the content of the words. It's too easy to look at the content of the words, but you know that the enemy can quote scripture and he can tell the future to some extent. He knows what he's planning on doing, and as long as he isn't stopped, it'll happen. He can unveil secrets, but he cannot carry the nature of Christ into a room. I was in a meeting a few years ago. It was a church I was going to at the time, and there was somebody there that was ministering, and they would get what seemed like very astounding prophetic words. Now, this is, some of you will have heard some news. This is not who you think or you might think from the story, just to clarify. It was like dates. It was names. It was schools. It was like very detailed, but usually just like one word. Just a date, then a word. Does that mean anything to you? And yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing. And then, well, the Lord knows you, moves on to the next person, does that four or five times. But there was no message that was communicated. But what was interesting, now I've been around prophetic ministry for, well, let's see, 19, wow, that's scary. Did I actually want to think of that? For 30 years. That's weird. I can remember getting saved and somebody was saying how they'd followed Jesus for 20 years and I was so jealous. Like, I can't wait till I've known him for 20 years. What's it like to have walked with him for 20 years? I know, no. but I've been in a lot of meetings and that feeling of the Spirit moving when the Lord begins to speak is normal. That room was empty. There was no anointing at all. And I found out later, a friend of mine was telling me, the guy that was running the sound booth and the cameras just thought it was interesting that the guy was on his phone. So he zooms in the camera. They had a camera up on the stage. Zoomed in the camera, and the guy's on Facebook the whole time. Now, here's the thing. You shouldn't even have to know that it was Facebook to have recognized that there was no fruit there. But we get so caught up because it seems amazing. It's impressive. It's accurate. But who cares? A friend of mine says, I already know my address. Tell me something I don't know. Like that's intriguing. But what is the Lord saying? And recognizing the presence of the Lord. It is very easy to be wowed, attracted, surprised, entertained, impressed, a few different adjectives we could use, by gifting. But it's one of the most dangerous things that you can let yourself fall into, never be impressed by gifting. At least never be impressed with the person that is showing the gift because they have a gifting, because the gift says nothing about the receiver, it says something about the giver. Too many times we get impressed because somebody has received a great gift, thinking that they're something special. But it's not the recipient that is special. And there are so many things that can happen when we get impressed with gifting. If our pursuit is of gifting, then we're already starting down a path that makes it difficult for us to discern what's actually God. And Jesus, You know, best sermon ever preached. If you're ever curious, you can preach the best sermon that has ever been preached. Just read out loud Matthew 5, 6, and 7. In there, chapter 7, he is talking about false prophets. It says you're going to know them by their fruit. What's the fruit of their lives? That's how you recognize if they're a false prophet. A good tree does not bear bad fruit. Unless they were really anointed. Some of us go there. We don't realize that we went there. But we start making excuses for why we actually don't believe what Jesus said. Not realizing that that's what we're doing. Because we get impressed with the gift. Don't get impressed with the gift. A good tree does not bear bad fruit. What's the long-term fruit? You know, some of this, you're not going to be able to find out right away. Some of you are already leaders of groups. Some of you may end up leading groups. Let me make a suggestion. Don't invite people to speak because you heard of their gifting. Invite them because you have a relationship and you know something about their life. We started pastoring that church that John Paul had planted in Boston area, and I was just excited, like anything that can, like, we just want to see God move, whatever that looks like. We want to see it all, anything. And so I heard this testimony about this guy that had raised somebody from the dead. And we're like, can you come and speak? Bad. It was like, we didn't see any miraculous. I have no idea. I mean, I think it's likely there was actually a resurrection. But there was no connection. There was nothing that the Lord actually did out of it. We would have people that would brag about their exploits, I guess that's a good way of saying it, and just as a way to get an invitation. But there would be no long-term fruit from it. I mean, it was fun. It was entertaining. I watched a guy, one of the guys that we had come in. He was ministering, and he just, there was a release of glory, atmosphere, presence, whatever we want to call it. Just different people call it different names. It's all the same thing. There was a spiritual atmosphere that was released into the room where things began to happen. And so he starts calling out for gold teeth and has everybody go around and check for gold teeth. And I mean, it's kind of funny having 150 people in a room going and looking up, like you're supposed to go to three different people and look in their mouths to see if they have gold teeth. And everybody's like, yeah, like breath mints are helpful in moments like these. And then a commotion starts, and this guy comes up, and I knew him. Like, he was Irving. He's a great guy. He was part of our church. He was one of those guys that he'd been called. The Lord had told him that he was supposed to be a full-time evangelist, and he took it seriously. So he went 40 hours a week out on the streets, and he evangelized. So he didn't just quit his job and not do anything, hoping that he would have an invitation. He just went and did what the Lord said. That's the right way to respond when you get a calling like that. And he would go wherever. Like sometimes he'd be in front of the courthouse. Sometimes he'd be down in the financial district. Most of the time he was hanging out with the homeless, just sitting and talking with them. And he led people to the Lord. And he'd been all over the world because the Lord had sent him different places. So I knew this guy. Now, I didn't know this part. The week before, he'd gone to the dentist. And he needed 3 root canals. 3. It was going to cost, I think at the time, it was going to cost like $6,000 or $7,000. You can tell how far away that was, because that's about how much one costs now by the time you get all done with the whole thing. So he needed 3 root canals and he got a gold tooth. Now, I didn't know this piece of the story. I just knew he's got a gold tooth. It's Irving. Irving says he's got a gold tooth. I know Irving. He's weird. He doesn't lie. Right. It's a gold tooth. So he comes up and my wife is standing somewhere. Our worship leader is standing there and this guest speaker has got a flashlight looking because he came ready. He knew what he was expecting. And there's a gold tooth. Like, did you have a gold tooth before? No, didn't have a gold tooth before. Let me see it again. There's 2 gold teeth. And while they were watching, they watched 2 more. And my wife says it looked like somebody was coloring it gold. She just watched it turn gold right in front of her eyes. 3 and then 4. All 3 of the teeth that needed the work and the other one that didn't need that much work but needed a little bit of help, all 4 of them completely turned gold. Here's the thing. I was really impressed. Like, that's pretty astounding. Like, let's have this guy back. He's dead now. He didn't end well. He ended leaving his wife, most likely a drug addiction, though that has never been confirmed. And you don't know who I'm talking about, so I'm not spreading rumors. I'm just giving you a concept. But to me, it's a little bit more of a concept because I watched how he treated people when he wasn't on the stage. And thankfully, we made the decision not to invite him back after 2 or 3 times because of the way that he was treating people. I know God. Like, he's just so good. Where there's hunger and there's expectation, he's going to show up. Even when the person that's ministering is not doing good things. That's not fruit. That's not fruit. That's not the fruit that you're looking at to find out. Good tree bearing good fruit, bad tree bearing bad fruit. That's not what we're talking about. That's gift. That's not fruit. Gift can come out of any vessel because God is good. Now, you can get defiled in demonic gift. Yes, 100%. That is possible. It's really hard to get there. Just don't try to be deceived that much. It takes a lot of work to get that deceived. But there's a reality of gift. Anybody with faith can operate in gift. You don't even have to have a relationship with the Lord. Letting us sink in. Because I had this thought, and I had it for so many years, that gifting proved that somebody was closer to the Lord. The more gift they had, the closer they were to the Lord. And then I met gifted people. And I found some people that are so close to the Lord that I have prayed prayers saying, Lord, when I grow up, can I be like them? And I've not really seen gift manifest. But their relationship with Jesus and their purity of heart and what they walk in, like, I am jealous for what they have with him. I want that. Here's a beautiful thing. It's easy if we don't get distracted. You're not looking for gift, you're looking for Jesus. Now, where Jesus shows up, gift will happen. If there's no gift, there's no Jesus. Sorry, but that's biblical. But because there is gift doesn't promise you that there's Jesus. And it's not the gift that we're pursuing, it's Jesus. But we know that we've got the right Jesus because gifts happen. Is this helping some? Now, I just said that last statement and I thought about 20 different things that I wanted to clarify and fix. I'm giving a broad statement in that concept. Our pursuit is him. It's intimacy with him. And as we pursue him, there is so much more available than what most of us have ever imagined. Like in relationship with him, you find the stuff that you used to pursue and try really hard to get that just happens accidentally. You're not even trying, and stuff happens because you're not doing it. And that actually gives you a clue. It's one of the clues that I use. When I find myself trying, I realize I'm outside of grace. I've learned the difference when I'm trying to make something happen. I've actually learned the difference. I'll catch myself. I'll be prophesying, and I'll catch myself trying to make it more than what it was. And it's not conscious. Like, I'm not sitting here thinking, oh, this isn't as good of a word as it should be. Let me make it better. But I feel that come out, and I realize, wait a second, I'm now operating out of my own energy, not out of his. This is me in not him generating this. And where I'm hoping to get us to is how to recognize that. Because if you can recognize that, it's going to keep you safe in a lot of different ways. Because the call, remember, Abraham was called the father of our faith. Right? Paul talks that we've inherited the faith of Abraham. We've been brought into the promises of Abraham, Galatians. This recognition that we stand on the faith is given to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Like, this is who we are. Do you remember Abraham's first call? It depends on which translation that you read. But if you look at the Hebrew, it says, come walk towards my face. That was the call of God. Now, most English translations say, walk before me. The invitation of relationship with God is to have a life that is oriented constantly towards his face. His presence, that everything about us is going after him. And when we get distracted by the stuff of him and we lose him, we miss it. And the distraction goes on both sides. Because you can get distracted by the gift and miss Jesus, but you can also get distracted by what we call scripture and miss Jesus. Right? The Pharisees learned that one the hard way. Well, some of them learned it. One of them got knocked off of his high horse. Literally. That's where we get that phrase from. You can go on both sides. We can become where all we're looking for is what fits our definition of doctrinal purity and miss Jesus. Now, if you get the real Jesus, you're going to have doctrinal purity. But you're not going to find Jesus by looking for doctrinal purity. Fruit, root. Get the root right, the fruit will be right. Get the root wrong, the fruit will always be wrong. A tree is known by its fruit.